The biggest lesson was when I got in one of those habits where I was working too hard, working too long, a lot going on. As I look back, I realized that those were actually seasons where I felt anxious or maybe even fearful about something. And I did not take time to kind of process those feelings, to maybe journal about them and figure out where is that feeling coming from. Instead, my reaction was just to do more and faster and keep going rather than to take that moment away.
Well, hey there. If we have not yet met, my name is Alex Judd. I'm the founder of Path for Growth, and this is the Path for Growth podcast. Now, as a business, we exist to help impact-driven leaders step into who they were created to be so that others benefit and God is glorified. And this podcast is just another iteration of how that mission comes to life. Well, today I get to share with you a conversation that I had with Dan Chapman. Dan is the founder and CEO of Red Remedies. They create and distribute herbal supplements to people around the country. He's also the owner of Sunrise Health Food Stores. Obviously, this is a health food store that his parents founded that now has five locations across the state of Illinois. Now, I was so excited to talk to Dan specifically about an outline related to business and leadership principles that he's learned, because he's just really effective, but also really intentional about the way that he manages and runs the businesses that he owns. But it was in preparing for that conversation that I talked to his one-on-one coach on our team, which is Kyle Gimmer. And I talked to Kyle. I said, Kyle, this is my plan. I'm excited to talk to him about these things. And Kyle told me, he said, man, Alex, I think that that's really great. And Dan is going to have so much to be able to share that will be really valuable on these things. But he said, man, I would really encourage you to press into a couple other topics he's also really passionate about. Number one, his relationship with God and the way that influences his leadership and his business. Number two is his marriage. Number three is his kids and everything that he's learned about parenting. And then number four is personal health, because obviously being in the space that he's in, Dan is deeply passionate about the way that we take care of our body. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's a whole nother avenue that we obviously want to get into, because we believe at Path for Growth, man, if you want to put your business in order, start by putting yourself in order. So I went back to the drawing board and I said, man, I want to record a first conversation with Dan on just what does it look like to put these specific areas of your life, faith, marriage, parenting, personal health, in order? And what are the principles that Dan's learned about those areas over the course of his career? And then we're going to record a second episode that's really focused on the business and leadership principles that he uses to operate and lead multiple businesses. So here's the first part of those two conversations with Dan Chapman. Well, Dan, I'm so excited to be with you today. We often say that our favorite people to talk to on the podcast are people that are simultaneously practitioners and communicators. So they're people that are actively in the trenches of working to be an impact-driven leader, but then they're also conscientious observers of what they're learning along the way. And in all of that, they're thinking about how can I communicate what I'm learning so that others can be served. And I just think you check both of those boxes in a really big way. So I'm really excited to talk to you, Dan.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this conversation as well, Alex.
Well, I think we're going to really split our conversation today into two parts, because you're involved in a wide variety of arenas. You own multiple businesses and you're very passionate about those businesses and the way you structure your time around those businesses. But just one of the things that we know to be true at Path for Growth is like, man, anytime you have someone that's performing in a really high level and in a really organized way professionally, well, that person, if they're doing it in a way that's healthy, that means they're also really organized and really intentional personally. And so I thought it would be really powerful for us to focus today on what are the things that you do personally that give you the ability to show up well professionally, if that sounds like a good plan to you, Dan.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. And everything I think in life starts with you as a person. And so when I hear that question, I immediately just want to like jump to my family and my friends and what I do in business. But I actually appreciate your the number one fundamental actually is focused on the person, right? And so I would say that, you know, what do? I get my strength and my guidance from the Bible and from the Lord. And there's so much in the Bible that can be applied personally, that when you follow kind of the rhythms that the Lord gives us, the outflow of that is I think all of the results that we want to have. And when I get, you know, messed up internally and not following those rhythms quite right, the rest of my life also doesn't feel quite right. And so I love the fact that in the Bible, God is a God of organization and structure and patterns and rhythm. And so when I find myself following those rhythms, like, and so for example, just the mindset that before you go and do anything, the only doing that we can do has to come out of a place of rest first. Mm-hmm. And so I love the fact that the Bible really even talks about the day starting at night. And so just this mindset that the first thing I'm going to do is go to sleep, which is so counterproductive, right? Because I mean, I grew up as a doer and I still am. And so I want to get up in the morning and I want to get after it. But when I go with this mindset that no, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to sleep and I'm going to rest. And out of that rest, I can wake up in the morning and go have a really productive day. And my week doesn't start on Monday morning. My week starts on Sunday. The first thing that I do is rest. And I'll tell you, that really hit home for me when it occurred to me, just reading the Bible, that we were created on day six and our first day was the Sabbath. And I was like, wow. I mean, it really hit home for me. So if you're asking, like, what is it about me that allows me to be productive? It's reminding myself and staying in those rhythms that have been created for me and trying to do everything out of that place of rest. Independence on the Lord then allows me to kind of go out and be active and then serve those around me, which is, I think, what I do best in my own organizations is I love to love and care for and serve people.
There's so much in that I want to practically dive into. I think before we get into like the rhythms that you're addressing and then even go beyond that to how does this affect your marriage? How does this affect your parenting? And then ultimately how it affects your business. If we were to just get to kind of some of the foundations of that, is there a moment or maybe even a season in your life where you can look to and you could say, this is where I learned that, man, I really have to take responsibility for Dan first before I can start taking responsibility for other people?
Yeah, and I appreciate that question because I will tell you that I'm not even sure I would put myself as being good at this. I'm a striver. I'm striving to be good at this because I know that when I am, everything feels good. And so I'll just say I've gone through long seasons of not doing this well and working hard, working long, trying with everything in me and seeing some successes for sure. But feeling like it the weight is on me to accomplish it. And so I've gone through it, like I said, you know, when you've been doing business for quite a while, you definitely go through those seasons. And I feel like I have really just in the last few years come out of a long season there. Mm. Both of my parents have passed away sometime over the last 17, 18 years ago for my mom, about 13 years ago for my dad. And I'll tell you I had wonderful relationships with them. And I went through quite a season after they both passed away of trying to kind of reset and reorganize and figure it all out. And again, you kind of come back to that, okay, it's not about me. Actually, it's so little about me. And when I put the focus on others as opposed to what I need to do, life just goes so much better. So that's probably my best lesson is just realizing it is not dependent on me.
If you were to reflect back on like, man, when I look at those seasons where I was maybe out of order in the way I approached things, or I maybe like was really, really busy and running really hard, are there specific lessons that you can point back to from those seasons that you're like, oh, this is what I learned. This is what I took out of that I now carry with me moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, probably the biggest lessons was when I got in one of those habits where I was working too hard, working too long, a lot going on. As I look back, I realized that those were actually seasons where I felt anxious or maybe even fearful about something. And I did not take time to kind of process those feelings, to maybe journal about them and figure out where is that feeling coming from. Instead, my reaction was just to do more and faster and keep going rather than to take that moment away. And so that for me is my biggest lesson where I try to have regular moments in my life where if I have something that comes up and I feel like, well, that's not quite right, Dan. Like, why are you anxious about that? Why are you feeling fearful about that? To stop at that moment and say, where did that come from? Because typically it comes from a place of just not knowing. And so what do? We just go faster instead of take a moment to think about it. Because usually when we do that, I feel like the path forward is really pretty clear if we take a moment to think through what's going on inside of us.
So good. There's so much in what you're already saying that makes me think of one of the guest speakers that we had at an experience that we did 2 years ago. I think this was before we even knew you, Dan, but it was one of my greatest mentors. He's actually the gentleman that married Aspen and I. His name is Mike Valentin. And I'll never forget, he got up to the whiteboard and he just wrote, God, marriage, kids, work. And then basically his entire talk could have just been three words. It was in that order, right? Like you have to go in that order. And it sounds to me like that's kind of what you're already alluding to here at the beginning of the conversation. Is one of the things you've learned is like, man, things go really well when we go in that order. Does that feel correct?
This is from my wife, who always said and is teaching our kids, it is God, it is friends, it is others. And then at the very end, it is yourself. So we are to serve the Lord. We're to be here for our family. We are to serve others. And then you can come around at the tail end. And when you get that right, life is so much better.
So good. Okay. So I'd love to walk kind of in that order, because even in talking with Kyle, who you work with one-on-one, I kind of talked to Kyle and I was like, Kyle, you know, are there specific things just from knowing Dan really well now that you would point out to us like, man, we should really hit on? He's like, well, definitely talk to him about his relationship with the Lord. Definitely talk to him about his intentional practices for marriage. Definitely talk to him about how he raised like mature grown adults that are now doing incredible things in the world. And I was like, well, I was going to talk to him only about his business. So maybe we should make this a two-part conversation. And so I think it'd be really good for us to go in that order. And so I guess just to start, let's start with relationship with God. When you're healthy, when you're thinking about things well, how do you think about your relationship with God? And then we'll get into like the practices of what that looks like rhythmically.
Yeah, well, I probably would start by saying that I accepted the Lord when I was very young, and I was really blessed to grow up in a home where a healthy relationship with the Lord was displayed to me by my parents. And I would say as I started to get older, I also was just really, really fortunate to have some very strong men and women in my life, probably more men than women for me particularly, that continued just to show me what it meant to have a relationship with the Lord. And so the first thing I would say is I understand fully that I serve a God who wants a relationship with me. And he desires that. And he also works, this is amazing, but he works to bless me and care for me. He's very patient with me in that. So he's a gentleman in the sense that he doesn't force me to get it quick. He allows me to take my time to understand what it is that he wants me to know. And so I've had an understanding of that for a very, very long time. And so when I read the Bible, I read it and understand it as his words, and the Holy Spirit kind of brings that out and teaches me new things all the time, every day. And I would say that that's been part of my growing up as well, is just watching my kids, like having children, and then understanding for the first time the love that a father can have for a child has been remarkable to me. And I've had many occasions where the Lord just even spoke to me as I was watching my children and loving my children. And he would say like multiple times, you get it now, don't you? Like that's how I think about you. Or, you know, those moments when your child is very young and you put a hand out to protect them so they don't fall down. And I've just heard him say, like, and that's what I do for you. And I don't even have words to fully explain that, but that is the relationship that I've had. And I'm grateful for. I didn't actually come prepared like for this, but can I read just one verse that to me, I think explains it really, really well, kind of in a nutshell, what the Lord's looking for. It's Proverbs 3. And I know it's a pretty common verse, but I'm going to put a couple of them together. These are verses that my grandfather and grandmother literally put on every card they ever gave me for their lifetime. But, wow. You know, I think most of us, many of us know some of these. Proverbs 3 verses 5 is where I'll start. And it just says, trust the Lord completely. I take it for what it says. Trust the Lord completely. Full stop. Okay. So how do you do that? And it says, and don't depend on your own knowledge. Okay. I got that. With every step you take, think about what he wants and he will help you go the right way. So Don't trust in your own wisdom, but fear and respect the Lord and stay away from evil. If you do this, it will be like a refreshing drink and medicine for your body. I help people feel better all the time. That's what I do with health food stores and supplements and things. But God's word, this is what it says. A healthy drink and medicine is respecting and fearing the Lord. And I always want to add that verse 9, and this is where I'll quit. It says also, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first part of your harvest. In these couple of verses, if you follow just these couple of verses and you don't read anything else in the Bible, you will live an amazing, prosperous, joy-filled, wonderful life because the Lord will bless you. And so this, it's impactful to me. And it's how I said earlier about striving. I am so far from perfect at this. And there are days I'm not even good at this, but I do strive to do this.
So powerful. And thank you for sharing that. I'd be interested to know if you could identify specific lies, maybe it's about yourself or maybe it's about God, specific lies that block you from healthy relationship or that you observe. I know you're very invested in next generation. You're invested in serving other people that you often see, man, these are the lies that get in our way of having the type of trusting relationship that proverb just described.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are, I see it in myself. I also see it in other entrepreneurs. Generally, we are busy, capable people. And so, and we have vision and we're excited about what it is that we're going to do, right? And so we want to get after it. And very quickly, we can believe that I'm going to do this. I'm going to create that. This is going to happen. And at the end of the day, I even have proof because look at what I did today. But that nothing could be farther from the truth. And so that, as innocent and even correct as that might sound, over time, that has the capacity to allow you to get off track where you do believe that it is about you. And you forget that the only reason that you have breath today is because God allows you to have breath. And so it's back to those rhythms. So I have a busy day, a full day, I have a lot to do, and I'm excited about it. I'm going to pause and put that at God's feet, right? I'm going to pause and I'm going to read. I'm going to pause and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pause and I'm going to write down how that makes me feel today to make sure that today, can I please just get it right today and make it not about me? And I would add the other part of that is that last verse. And I see this in new business people where, you know, hey, I've got a lot of responsibility. There's a lot going on. Money's tight because I just started my business. And so I'm going to be giving when I'm going to give later. And we hear it, right? I'm in the later half of my career. I'm going to give back. So God, you know, the world has been so good to me. I'm going to give back now. And that's upside down. That's backwards. It says here to give out of the first fruits. That means the very first thing that comes in should be given back. And that is, that's a hard principle to do when you have real bills coming in and real responsibilities and maybe real employees to pay this week. But that's how you live a life dependent on God, right? You're dependent because you give it to him.
And I love that you hit that word dependence again, because that was going to be my next question. Early on in this conversation, you highlighted two words, rest and dependence. Those two words seem extremely countercultural and maybe amplified in terms of how oppositional they are whenever we think about entrepreneurs. Can you add some color to the power and kind of principles behind those two words, rest and dependence?
You know, rest, if I start there, it's really just a part of the what our bodies need. And so, again, working in the health space my entire life, I know that the healthiest body will be a body that is able to rest and is nourished well. And so people that get sick or are sick are individuals that something along those lines hasn't gone well for them. They are not resting, recuperating. They're not feeding their body well. And likely there are outside factors that are weighing that body down. And it could be stress or toxins or who knows what in the environment. And so it applies perfectly for our own individual body's health, but it also applies for business health. We have to come from a place of rest, which creates energy in the body. When I rest, my body heals, it recuperates, it gets rid of toxins and things that need to come out of the body. And that allows me to go out in strength. And we can look at that spiritually. We can look at that, you know, physically. We can look at that emotionally. It's true every single time in every place. So we have to start there. And the place of dependence, to me, that is more of a spiritual principle of just the fact that, you know, we are all sinful. And in order to not, to have my sins washed away, I've accepted the Lord, right? And so I become dependent on Him. And so the dependence part is a constant reminder that I can't do it on my own. And that on my own, actually, I deserve nothing. I actually deserve death. I deserve punishment. But through Him, through that dependence on Him, I get to live the life that we were actually designed to live before we sinned. And that's only through Him. And so I know that the best place in life to live is fully dependent on Him. So the habits that you can put in place that force you to be more and more dependent are the best habits. And that's where you kind of come from. Well, okay, before you go out and do, you're going to take a nap. You know, before you're able, you're going to give. Before you have capacity, you're going to serve. You have to do those things first. That's a biblical principle. And the interesting thing is to the listeners, you can believe it or not believe it. That doesn't really matter. It's still true.
Mm. And it's so interesting because I think one of the things that can block us from rest is exactly what you already named, fear and anxiety, right? Well, if I rest right now, I'm not going to be provided for. I need to go make it rain. I need to go make sure I'm building this business. If I don't do this now, I won't ever be able to do it, right? Like we get, and then also shame, right? Like, yes. I'm not doing enough. I'm not enough on my own. So I have to build this business because this business will make me enough, right? And so those are two things that often block us from the dependence that you were talking about. But then, I mean, candidly, someone could talk to you, Dan, and they could be like, okay, you're telling me trust the Lord in all things. Really easy for you to say. You've got multiple grown kids. You've got a great marriage, right? You've got multiple businesses that are, you know, doing multi-millions of dollars in sales. It's like, when I have multi-millions of dollars in sales, then I'll start trusting too. How do you respond to that person, Dan?
Just come and live with me for a day or a week and you'll figure out that my life is so, so far from perfect. And those principles, I will tell you, I applied those principles when it wasn't easy. And it still isn't easy today. I'm just so blessed today. I truly am. So many people have been so good to me. I've got a wonderful team, a wonderful wife, wonderful kids, but it's not perfect. It's still hard. I have to work at it every single day. And so there is dependence every day. And I'd say that also to that listener that might be, you know, in the later half of their season of their career too, where maybe life is great and business is good and they've got plenty of money. If you don't find a way to live dependent in that season, it still won't be good for you.
So good. I think that just kind of reminds me or highlights for me, like, it was so refreshing and it felt almost empathetic whenever I learned or realized that Israel, the people of God, the people that this entire book is about, that then represent kind of the first partakers in the grace that we've all been given. It's like Israel means wrestling with God. And whenever I learned that, I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. And it sounds like that's true to your experience as well. Yeah,
absolutely. It is a constant communication with a God who wants a relationship with you, and you don't need the right words to say. He doesn't dictate how the words have to be, right? Use your words, be human, talk to Him the way you would talk to anybody else. And that's what He's looking for. And then make sure that you have quiet moments so you can listen back. I think the reason that many people say, well, gosh, I've never heard him talk to me, or it's great that he talks to you, he doesn't really talk to me. Have you been quiet? And have you read his word? Because his words are his voice. And, you know, we live in a world where there is a lot of noise. It is constant noise. We have to have those quiet moments to listen. And he will, if we want to hear and we ask him to speak, he will speak to us.
So good. There's another piece that you already kind of tied in that I'm really fascinated by your perspective on this. You highlighted in your response to the rest question, like, rest is like a spiritual idea that has very physical ramifications. And I read a book recently that was just talking about the reality that so many of us tend to subscribe to what this author referred to as disembodied Christianity. Like, we apply ourselves entirely to the spiritual and soul side of things, but we forget, like, God gave you a body and your soul resides in that body. And this is the space that you operate in, yeah, right? You're in the health space, right? Health stores and also health supplements. Let's start broadly on this topic because this applies directly to self-control. Man, if there were maybe a greatest hits of, like, if there were three messages that you just wish every entrepreneur could get about their health, because I know you're so passionate about this topic, what are the three things you would want people to hear, Dan?
Great question. So we have to start with the foundation that God is also a God of consistency. So, like, what is healthy spiritually is also healthy emotionally, is also healthy physically. They're not different rules on different aspects. They're the same rules. And so, generally speaking, what is healthy then? What's healthy spiritually? What's healthy emotionally? What's healthy physically? Balance. But the body wants to be and is created to be in a place of homeostasis or balance. And, you know, the frustration for most people is like, oh man, really? That's it? That's all I get is balance? Like, I want peak performance. I want optimal, right? I want to go climb mountains. You know, I want to achieve more. Okay. Your body in balance is perfection. A body that is in balance will be a body that can achieve more, that will not have symptoms, that won't have disease. So the question is, within the body systems and structure, how do we maintain healthy balance? And that is what I'm all about, like at Red Remedies, which is our supplement company. And so one of the things that I definitely encourage people to do is I love the use of a couple of different nutrients. One are categorized as adaptogens. Another I'll generically kind of categorize as nutritive herbs. And I think it goes along with the sense that we have, all of us have these external factors that kind of weigh us down. And those external factors are generally stressors. And so it's an element of that that's emotional, an element of that that's physical. And what's interesting is with our different personalities, because we're all different, right? We can have 10 of us in the room and all experience the same stressors, and we can all come out of that stressful experience with different emotions from that same exact experience because we're unique. And so I've kind of generically put people into one of three camps, and I find that people generally wear stress either physically. And so, Alex, this is probably you, right? So you are generally healthy, generally very active, right? So healthy, active, doing well. You're busy. No doubt you still have stress like everybody else. And so you just need your body to maintain that stress and maintain that healthy energy that you have. And so I actually make a product for that. We call it True Energy. It's the first product I ever made. It is still my favorite product because that's my personality too. I'm healthy, I'm active, but I also have a lot going on. And so True Energy kind of helps modulate or protect your body from the negative impact of that stress. We've got other ingredients that nourish the body so that I can maintain that positive balance and energy.
Before we move on from that, I'm so interested in this, and I'm cool if we park here for a little while, You're cool with that, because it's clear that you're really passionate on this. Obviously, we don't want the masterclass on how something like True Energy works, but like, what are the fundamentals of what people need to understand about their own body and about supplements like this to just have a little bit more of a get it factor. And the reason why I want to ask that question specifically, honestly, personally for myself, but also for our audience, is because there's so much in this space right now that's really confusing, right? And like, it used to be like, you need to get a physical every year and just do what they say on your blood work. And now it's like, well, I've got Andrew Huberman and Peter Attia saying like, oh, like, don't do that at all. Do this. Right. And like, there's all the, you know, and then you get ads for all these different supplements and greens. And it's like, holy cow, I could spend my entire savings just on the things that they're telling me to buy. So I'm trying to clear the clutter a little bit, if that makes sense.
And it's a beautiful question. And so for, again, for clarity for your listeners, I grew up in a health food store. My mom and dad started a health food store in 1961. I own 5 health food stores at Sunrise Health Foods. That's one of my businesses. I also manufacture herbal supplements. That company is Red Remedies. So I've lived in this space my whole life. And what I've kind of come to the conclusion of, It comes back to the rules of that are facts, okay? And the fact is that God created a body that is absolutely remarkable and unbelievable in its ability to perform, but also its ability to survive. Think about everything that your body has survived and is surviving. And so what we want to do is we want to do our very best job helping that body not just survive, but maintain the balance that it was designed to be in. And so I look at stress as really the problem. So if there is one enemy to the body, that enemy is stress. When I say stress, I'm not just talking about, oh, I've got a really stressful day, or I had a stressful, you know, week, or I've got stressful people in my life. So there's a lot of aspects to stress. So it is definitely emotional, no doubt. There are aspects of physical stress. If you're very, very active, or if you work a job, you know, that's very demanding, or if you're a football player, you've got a lot of football or a lot of physical stress. But a lot of the stress that we also come in contact with is external, like environmental stressors. So the water we breathe, the air that we drink, the foods that we eat, the clothes that we wear, and the fibers in those clothes, or the cleaning supplies, or the shampoo. And we could just keep listing, right? There are chemicals and toxins all around us. All of those things collectively are stress. And anytime you come in contact with a stressor, whether that's emotional, physical, or environmental, external, it causes something in that body, something in that homeostasis to be pushed out of balance. Now, what's amazing is the survival factor, right? God created a body that is unbelievable at surviving those stressors. But every time we have a stressor, it causes our body to then spend energy fixing that problem. And so our bodies spend energy all day, every day, fixing problems. And your body cannot just create more energy. Some people think, oh, well, I'll just create more. Nope, you've got 100%. That's what you have. And your body will decide how to spend that energy today. And that's why sometimes we wake up and we are exhausted, right? Or at 2 o'clock, I can't even think straight anymore. There's nothing left in the tank there. And so what I do with the foundation of our supplements at Red Remedies is we've created these, I call them foundational formulas for 3 different stress types. And the design is to protect the body from the negative impact of all of those stressors. And we can be somewhat specific about it, because in this class of adaptogen herbs, as I call them, it's a small class of very elite herbs that have very specific qualities. And generally speaking, adaptogens protect your body from the negative impact of the stress. So the stress still happens. I can't stop that, but I can help your body deal with the stress so that the cost to the body is not as high, right? Hmm. There's still going to be some cost. There's nothing you'll do to stop all cost, but you can help reduce that cost. And then what is the result of reducing that cost? Well, my body has more free energy to then feel good physically and mentally, or maybe to heal or to repair something else that maybe has been lingering or going on. You know, for those of us that maybe we get sick and it takes us 3 weeks to recover, and that other person got sick and it only took them a day or two to recover. right? I mean, all of that has to do with how much energy does your body have to deal with everything coming at it at that moment. And so to me, that is very, very foundational. And I love the use of very specific herbs that have been used for like thousands of years and supported by all kinds of incredible science to accomplish that goal. And so we design formulas at Red Remedies because I also believe that an herbal formula will help solve that problem much more effectively than like trying to figure out what single ingredient, right? And so kind of back to how you teed this up, Alex, where you said, there's so many people to listen to. There's so, like somebody says to go this way and another guy says, no, don't go that way, go the opposite way. So the thing that I know is that there's a lot of information. It's confusing. Oftentimes it's conflicting. And so our role at Red Remedies and Sunrise Health Foods, for that matter, is to come alongside you and say, okay, here's all the stuff, but what are you dealing with? Let me put together a formula for you that is going to help solve that problem, because you can't be an expert today. I mean, I don't know how much time you have, but like, so that's where we come in, is I've got a master herbalist that helps lead our formulation philosophy or our process, and a whole group of really smart people that help put that formula together with the end result of modulating stress, nourishing the body, supporting all the systems that are involved in that issue, because yes, our body is whole and connected, right? And ultimately to restore balance and homeostasis. That's the end goal.
One of the principles that I could draw from what you just said at the end there is, like, it feels to me as though you're encouraging people to get localized care and attention and support. Like, because I think the common thing today is to listen to a podcast that's going out to millions of people and take this general solution and say, oh, well, that probably applies to me too. And it sounds like what you're saying is like the model your business is built on is like, no, like we want to hear what you're actually experiencing. Yeah. And then out of that, draft a solution that is for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so a great example of that is I'm going to use melatonin in sleep, because most people probably are familiar with melatonin is. And so melatonin is a hormone. You can get it in a supplement form, and melatonin is what your body produces when the lights go down and it's time to sleep. And so if you can't sleep, it's pretty simple math, right? Let's take melatonin. So melatonin as an ingredient has grown like exponentially over the last 10 years. And anytime you take a single thing to push another thing in the body, on the other side of that is another imbalance, because more melatonin is not the answer. The right amount of melatonin is the answer. And that is back to homeostasis or balance. So I do have a sleep formula. I do not use melatonin, because that would be something that would push the body, that it might help you today, it might help you this week, but somewhere along the way, I'm going to create another imbalance in your body. And so I don't use ingredients that, even though they're natural, that I consider to be pushing ingredients. I consider melatonin to push. You take it, it's going to do the same thing in you that it's going to do in the next person. And while there might be some short-term gain, somewhere on the other side of that is overdoing melatonin. So I give ingredients that allow your body to produce the melatonin that you uniquely need, Alex. And the next person can take the same formula. It's the same foundation ingredients, and they might need a different amount of melatonin. Their body will produce that amount that they need. And what's interesting about all of these fads in my world, right? I mean, we come and we go. Melatonin has been dropping off in sales the last couple of years. And I say, why? Because it doesn't work forever. It's not designed to work that way. It works for a minute, and then it creates another imbalance. And then that person is like, I don't want this anymore. I don't feel right, or I'm not sleeping, or I've got this other problem now. So we create formulas designed to nourish the body. And again, that's that foundation, that belief that I believe that God created a body to do exactly what he created it to do in the right situation with the right nutrients. And so that's what we do, is we give the body the nutrients so that it can do what it was created to do.
Man, so good. I think we're going to have to schedule another podcast conversation, because legitimately, I would really love to dive into your thoughts on caffeine on like streak diets, like the carnivore diet, or going totally vegan or only plant-based or things like that. And then I'd also like to have an extended conversation about sleep. And so, Dan, I hope you're down for potentially a podcast series or something like that. Cause I just think this is, man, this is the daily blocking and tackling stuff that has suddenly become very confusing. And because people are becoming better at marketing, there's a ton of fear and anxiety surrounding this stuff.
Yes.
And about what you're putting in your body. And so if you'd be up for it, I'd love to schedule another conversation where we double click on some of these topics, if that sounds good to you.
That'd be fantastic. I love it.
And so if we're kind of thinking about how we're framing this conversation, we talked about relationship with God. We talked about really how you take care of your body at a very high level, and maybe double clicked on the topic of stress a little bit. And so in some ways, we're talking about self-control here. And it's like the things that I can control myself. So let's maybe go to the next kind of concentric circle and talk about marriage. Like when you think about your marriage, give us some insight or context into your marriage. Hopefully you're not on your fourth spouse right now, because this would get real awkward real quick. Give us some context into your relationship, and then talk to us about some of the guiding principles that you've learned about healthy marriage, Dan.
Yeah. So I have been married to my beautiful wife, Valerie. Actually, we are a couple of weeks short of 29 years. And so I am really, really grateful for her. And there is more... Our marriage is probably more related to her ability to nurture a relationship than mine. I learned so much about just people in relationship and living a life of loving and serving others through her. And so that's really her. She has the gift of hospitality, and certainly is always gathering people and always caring for people. She has the ability to kind of, you know, intersect somebody's life that needs some help and help them sort that out. Yeah. So I love my wife.
Let me ask you this. If we were to go to your marriage playbook and like someone was say like, Dan, I want a healthy marriage that lasts 29 years. What do I need to make sure I do? Yeah. How do you respond to that question?
Again, I would say, coming from a place of imperfection, it is the seasons of remembering, looking at your wife and looking at all of the things that you love about her, because there's physical attraction with your wife. And I think that's really good. And after 29 years, we change a little bit. It's good to remind ourselves what we physically love about each other, to look at her as a unique person that is not you, and understanding that she will feel love likely very different than you. And I've seen that in a lot of husbands and wives, right? As they sometimes are even polar opposites in the way they feel love. And that's definitely true of my wife and I. And so I'd say, you know, early on, I didn't understand why she didn't feel loved the way I feel loved, you know? And so it's realizing, like, oh, because you're unique, because you're different. And so that is another aspect. Also, you know, just reminding each other that you're on the same team. So even in those conversations where they might feel critical, and this is something I struggled with, you know, she would say something to me and I would hear it early on as criticism. And I had to remember that, oh, in no way was that criticism. That was love that was actually just spoken to me to help me. And so that's another important lesson that I feel like we learned. And honestly, just to keep going in life, having goals together and things that you're doing together. Another thing that's really, I think, been impactful over 29 years is to realize that marriage also in life just goes in seasons. Not every moment needs to be like extremely exciting. Like, you're going to have moments that are just, you know, and when kids are involved, like, you go three seasons where you're doing nothing but caring for these kids that need everything you have. And so, you know, you end up putting your relationship almost on hold for a minute. It's important to remember that, like that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But of course, making sure that season isn't forever, you know, until the kids grow up. So.
Well, I like to think that I have a content brain, and just kind of hearing what you're saying and taking notes. Of course, I'm asking this question totally selfishly because I've gotten married in the past year, right? And yeah. It's like, I hear you saying adore, number one, like she should know she's the most important person in the room to you, and that relationship comes first. appreciate. Like, think about how you're showing love. And I love what you said about, man, like, what's the love language that you're using that they actually feel valued by? Align, like, we're on the same team, let's set goals. And then acceptance, like, accept the season that you're in, acknowledge the season that you're in. So the fact that they all start with A means we've got a great Baptist sermon if we want to go. You can take that and go teach at churches if you'd like to, Dan, because that's all your content. So one of the things that stands out to me, adore, appreciate, align, accept, right? If we were to take all of those things, embedded in all of those things is communication. So what have you learned as it relates to communication, especially being that, I mean, I believe y'all have three kids, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So three kids, multiple businesses, a lot of competing priorities. What have you learned about communicating effectively?
Well, I would say that one of the things is you have to communicate a lot and you have to communicate consistently, but there's also aspects where I've learned over time, like, not every detail of everything needs to be communicated because it's not important. You know, so I go home and my world has been all business and all of these things going on. And the truth is, a lot of that isn't really that important. And so I don't say that to say that you don't be open and transparent and honest with your spouse, but just to say that the world that you are probably in during the day, much of that is not important. So when you go home, let's have that communication about things that are important. And that's probably has more to do with her day and the things that she has going on. In our lives, my wife has been a homeschool mom for a lot of years. And I would say is not naturally wired to be a homeschool mom. My wife is wired to be a doer and somebody that's going to accomplish things. And we work together in the business early on. And so it has been a tremendous sacrifice for her to kind of rewire and say, okay, I'm going to apply myself towards homeschool and community and things like that. And so that's what I would say communication-wise, just realize it, the world that you probably are in during the day is much of that is not what the conversation ought to be about going home.
This definitely applies to me. I also know for a fact it applies to many of the business owners we work with. A lot of us are verbal processors. Right. So if there is something maybe tense or a big decision in the business, like talking through it is almost our form of thinking. It makes what you're saying makes total sense to me. Like your wife shouldn't, every day you get home from work, shouldn't be your sounding board for like every business thing that you're working on. That's not the purpose of marriage. Right. So what is your like release valve, or how do you go about verbally processing the things that are going on in the business so it doesn't just completely consume your time at home?
So one of the things that I did proactively quite a few years ago is just, I've got a couple of local friends that are men that own businesses. And, you know, we started getting together every other week in person. You know, originally it was just myself and two other guys. And the whole purpose was to be able to download and verbally process with two other men that would understand sometimes what you have to do in business and process that and not hear a complaint. In recent years, that's kind of expanded to a group of eight of us that are on a call 1 hour every single week. We're all businessmen. We're all over the place. And then we get together for a long weekend once a year. And that started with, I have a cousin that I'm close with, and he's a business guy, and we're both like, we've got to put this thing together. And so we've been really, really intentional about it. We've been doing that for 2.5 years now. And that, for me, has been really transformative, just to have that release valve for people that are not involved in my day-to-day, and they can hear me talk. And so that's what I would say is find a person or people close to you where you can have some sort of a healthy, productive conversation about, you know, things that you have going on in life. And gosh, that is so much what Path for Growth is about. You know, being a part of your community, there are regular opportunity for that release valve in a healthy and a productive setting, right? Where you're going to get questions asked and then when appropriate, advice given. But I say the questions asked are oftentimes far more important than the advice given.
That's right. Because sometimes like the answer is in me. I just need someone to pull it out. And I need to hear myself say the stupid things that I'm thinking sometimes. Yeah. Like, you know, as I'm talking, I'm like, I can already tell you this is going to be wrong, but I might as well say it because it's what's in my head. Yeah. So, man, I really appreciate you highlighting that.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing I'll say on there, Alex, is I have found that doing it at a couple of those levels has been good for me. You know, so I mentioned to you that I had the friend thing, and that's been really good. But your community layered onto that is it adds depth. And so I think the friendships that we can have, you know, with other men. So if I'm talking to a guy, you have to have a man as a friend. If I'm talking to a lady, you have to have a woman as a friend that you can do this with. But then also to be a part of a broader community. You know, it adds perspective and depth that you're probably not going to get, you know, something that maybe you can, you know, put together yourself.
One of the other values that I've found in paying for one-on-one time, whether it's with a counselor or coach or something like that, is like in a friendship, I have friends that are incredible business leaders, business owners, and even operate as a coach in some ways. But in those friendships, there's an expectation of mutual reciprocity because there should be, right? It's like, it's not an hour session where Alex comes and lists his three problems so we can solve them together. It's like, we're going to connect. Like, that's the point. Whereas like the reciprocity in a coaching relationship that I'm paying for is it's like the thing that I'm giving to this relationship is my money and energy. And the thing that I'm getting back is like, this is my time and I don't have to feel selfish about that. So I think that's also really helpful.
Absolutely. Yes.
One question on marriage before we move on to parenting. I would imagine just over the past probably decade, probably over the past 29 years, but especially over the past decade, there's been lots of decisions related to the business or businesses or starting new businesses or acquisition conversations or starting new location conversations that like obviously affect your family. How do you and your wife collaborate on decisions related to the business?
Another great question. And I think every couple will probably do this different just based on the makeup of the two people. For better or worse, my wife and I generally are very comfortable with risk. and we both are dreamers. We can both look at something and say, wow, we could do this with that. And we could do this over here. And so I find that we can agree pretty quickly sometimes in the things that we ought to do. That's not necessarily healthy for us because we also then sometimes need to have that person that's like pulling us down and asking all the hard questions and how is this going to impact your life and your family. And so for us, though, I have found that we need to be disciplined to give ourselves time to think a thing through because we can both be on the same page remarkably fast. And I don't see that in a lot of other relationships. I see in most of the relationships of friends of ours where one or the other of the couple is much more conservative or risk adverse or just doesn't have experience with what happens when you take on this debt to do this thing. And so Val and I are just a little bit different there where I find that for us, it's best that when we're excited about something that we give it time to rest and ruminate and figure out, okay, what are the downsides to that before we kind of jump in? And I'll add to that for decisions that we make that are bigger, that might be more in my world. And maybe she's less aware of all the details kind of leading up to it. I have found, and again, I've not been perfect at this, but her ability to have a wise knowledge of the right thing to do is remarkable to me with very little information. And I do think that that is a thing that most spouses have the capacity to be that. So regardless of whether your spouse is the risk adverse one or the, hey, no problem, let's go do it. Your spouse it oftentimes has that God-given ability to be that appropriate check for you. And so if your spouse is not on board, fully, it is best to not do it. I've made that mistake. So I'm speaking from experience as well, where I was just thought, this is great. This is going to work. And my wife was like, I don't know. She's been right more than she's been wrong on that.
Man, I heard recently the quote that I think applies. It, what was it? It was a good idea fully committed to is better than a great idea half-heartedly committed to.
Yes.
And I think so often, like if I'm not careful, right, and I'm a total amateur at this marriage thing, right, I can be like, well, this is such a great idea. Like, I just need to persuade Aspen enough to bring her along for the ride. And it's like, it could be a great idea, but if it's like, we're not both like fully thinking that it's a great idea, it's not going to be as good as going a different pace or choosing a different route that we can both be all in on.
Absolutely. And for, you know, a new marriage like you and Aspen, where she's coming into a relationship where a business is established and you, Alex, are the one that started it. Therefore, it'd be very easy to assume that now you, of course, always know the right thing to do because she's the newcomer. That is not the case. So
yeah, I've learned that very quickly. Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing what wisdom she will have to the right decisions for you, even though she may not know nearly the detail that you know.
Well, and what I found, Dan, and it sounds like this is what you're alluding to, is part of the value is she doesn't have all the detail.
Yes.
Because I realize, man, as it relates to decisions or relationships or things that we're thinking about pursuing, it's like, I'm carrying, for better or for worse, I'm carrying all of this experience, and some of that experience is actually baggage. And when I paint out something for her, she'll come up with things that I would never consider just because my experience has blinded me to it.
Yes.
But she's coming at it a little bit more fresh and like asking me like, well, have you thought about this? Or, you know, have you done this with this person? I'm like, I haven't even thought of that.
Yeah.
And so I've found great value in that.
Yeah. We become too familiar, you know, and it's kind of like the paint on the wall is great until you paint a different color and you're like, wow, is that old color bad? You know, so it's familiarity within our own business does absolutely blind us to the right decisions to make oftentimes.
That's right. And it requires a regular humbling, right? Because Donald Miller talks about it as the curse of knowledge, right? Like I become cursed with what I know about my business and just assume everyone knows what I know. But like, I mean, this is not why I married Aspen,
right.
But Aspen has been great for our marketing, right? Because she'll read our emails and be like, just so you know, this doesn't make any sense. Like I don't understand what you're saying here at all. And it's like, oh, it's curse of knowledge, right? It makes sense to me, but I'm not the first time visitor to our website or to our email or things like that. The other thing that stands out to me in your example with Val, Dan, just for us, and I actually have talked to a lot of our customers that would probably relate to y'all's relationship in this regard, is we had a meeting with one of our pastors recently, and I'm so grateful for our church. They have this incredible program that walks you through hundreds of questions and then gives you kind of this basically assessment of where are you aligned? Where are you different? What are potential areas for conflict? It was so helpful for us. One of the things that he told us is he said, you two both scored as high as I have ever seen in one specific category. And he said that category is called idealistic distortion. and so he said, which I was like, man, those are a powerful two words. He said, like, you both have this like, and probably part of this is like honeymoon stage of marriage.
Yeah.
But he said, you both have this like incredible capacity to like only see the best parts of a situation or a decision or a person and completely be blind to all the other things. And he said, like, that's a good part of y'all. It's part of what makes y'all really special and unique. It's part of why y'all are smiling all the time, probably. Yeah. But he said exactly what you said. He said, you have to get other people involved. Like you need to make sure that you get other people involved whenever you're making decisions, because otherwise you could reinforce each other's bad decisions in a really big way.
Absolutely. That's great.
Who are the people that you, to that point, who are the people that y'all keep involved? Like that y'all, is it pastors? Is it friends? Is it family members? How do y'all think about letting other people into the things that y'all are working on?
I would say it's different people in different situations, but yet, you know, we have, you know, some friends that are just very close to us, and that's a beautiful thing is to we've lived in the same area also, I'll say that, for our whole lives. You know, when you grow up in a brick and mortar business, you don't move. So I've lived in the same general area my whole life. And the beauty of that is we have roots that go very, very deep. We have a lot of great relationships in this area. And so we've got some friends that, you know, we know well, and they know a lot of the details about us, the good, the bad, and the otherwise. And so, you know, if we got something that we need some feedback on, we've got people that we can absolutely go to and share that idea or that thought. We've also got a, you know, I mentioned a cousin a little earlier. I've got a cousin and at this point, you know, a group of other individuals that we absolutely can invite into a difficult decision or something we're just unsure about or need some perspective on. And so we're really, really fortunate. I'd say just blessed to have people in our lives that can speak truth to us, even when it might be challenging.
So good. Very powerful. Well, talked to God, talked about cultivating a healthy body a little bit, talked about marriage. Let's zoom in on parenting now. Give us a little bit of context on your three kids, where they're at in life right now as well.
So we have three, as we mentioned. My oldest is 23. His name is Wiley. He is at this moment getting a CDL license and has been in the construction trade since he graduated high school. And wants to focus on excavating. And so he loves to work with his hands and is doing a great job with that. Eli is the next one in line. He's 21 years old. He's at a local university here, majoring a dual major, marketing and business. And then Olive brings up the rear for us. She is 14 years old and definitely a bright spot in our family. I'll add in that that she is adopted into our family. Young lady that comes from China, and that has been a remarkable experience for us. My wife, by the way, is adopted and always wanted to adopt. And so that has been a pretty remarkable experience for us and a long, long story. But I've got three kids that are just wonderful. I love them and enjoy them, and they're good kids.
Mm. If you've got either aspiring parents or young parents on this podcast, and like you're able to tell them, like, just remember this about parenting. What do you want them to remember?
Yeah. So when you start with kids young, you know, you don't give a lot of freedom, right? And that's healthy. That's appropriate. Freedom is not good for an infant or for a 1 year old or a 2 year old. But as they get older, you start to let the string out a little bit more, right? A little bit more and a little bit more when it comes to their freedoms. And I do think it's very important to not let that string out faster than is appropriate. I see too many freedoms, I think, come for kids in those like junior high years where they're not quite ready for it. But conversely, the other thing that's been really impactful is I've asked my boys specifically about this that are, you know, young men at this point, is one of the things that we talked to them about very, very early on was the fact that they have the power to decide what they want our family dynamic to look like and what they want their relationship with each other to look like. So in other words, yes, I could punish you for being mean to your brother or not nice or hitting your brother or whatever it may be. But as much as I can do that, the thing that I cannot do, like as hard as I want to try, is I can't change your attitude. You get to decide what your attitude towards your brother is going to be. You know, do you want to be the type of brothers growing up that celebrates each other when good things happen? Or do you want to be the type of brothers that's always like, well, I didn't get that, or that's not fair, or that's not right. And so we did that repetitively over and over and over in different life situations to display that power. Because first of all, it's true. So if it's true, why not tell them that? So I can't mandate it or dictate it or punish my way to it, even though those are components of it, maybe to help mold and shape it. They still get to decide. And I found that when my boys did realize like, oh, I do have power here, they actually made a good choice of how they would do it. And so my boys will tell you today, and they have absolutely done this. I'm so proud of them. When one of them gets something, the other one celebrates it. When somebody asks about their brother, you'll hear him talk about the good things that he sees in his brother. And I don't know. I mean, we might have had a little bit to do with that, but I give a lot of that credit to my boys for choosing well. And it's a great example to our daughter, right? Who loves and idolizes her big brothers. So
yeah, no kidding, man. That's so cool. I mean, just the idea of empowering, I feel like, is the verb there. It's like making people, you're just giving people insight into the power that they already have and asking them, you know, would you use this intentionally? Really, really cool. Are there specific practices or even things that you and your wife did that you would say, man, if we were to parent again, if we were to start from zero and go do it again, we would absolutely do this again. Like, we would absolutely make sure we took this action or took this practice again.
Yeah, I would say that what I would do is live life enjoying every moment. And I think overall, I think we did this well. But, you know, in parenting, you're always looking back. Sometimes you're like, oh, I wish my kids were little again. And we're definitely in that season when they're 21 and 23, you know, looking at the old videos. But making sure that you always are like, enjoy that moment. Don't look forward to the next season. Don't like long for the season that's in the past, but love that moment. And don't stress about the details. You know, when parents are in that schooling season, and we're still in that, you know, my boys are at the tail end of it. Our daughter is, you know, finishing eighth grade. So we're still in that. At the end of the day, the details of the schooling, and hopefully there aren't teachers here listening that are going to be upset with me, but it's just not that important. The life lessons are what is important, and they will learn along the way. I mean, there's so many great resources for learning, whether it's homeschool or, you know, going to a physical school today. I'm not worried about those details. It's those character lessons, those life lessons, and learning just to live with hope and joy and a positive outlook is where I would double down.
Man, very powerful. Well, goodness gracious, this conversation took a little bit of a different script than I anticipated. But based on the other conversations we had, Dan, I probably should have anticipated that it wouldn't be like we anticipated. It probably would have been the best bet. I think what would be best right now before we get to the final question is just say, like, let's wrap this up on self-control and say, like, man, that's a great foundation. And then the next time we get together, let's talk about the business and everything that you've learned and are currently learning in that arena as well, because I think that'll be a really powerful conversation. Before we get to the final question, though, is there anywhere where people can stay in touch with what you're doing? And then also, if people are interested just in like some of the base level supplements that you talked about with Red Remedies as it relates to mitigating stress, where would you point them for that as well?
Yeah, so you can just go to our website at redremedies.com, and I'll point out that red is R-E-D-D. remedies.com, a word that means to put in order. So redremedies.com. And if somebody wants to, our phone number is there. There's an email there, but I'm happy to also give my personal contact, which is D Chapman, C-H-A-P-M-A-N at redremedies.com. And certainly you can, you know, find me on Facebook and Instagram, and of course, LinkedIn. And I'm happy to connect there and answer questions. And just know that, you know, part of our belief in the body, you talked about, you know, we're talking about coming alongside people. You can call our office here and there will be a human being that will answer the phone and will help answer your questions. So if you're like, I don't know what Dan was really talking about, but I'm intrigued about that stress thing, and somebody here will help answer your questions.
Man, that's a novel idea today. Yeah. So we'll put all of that contact information and everything in the show notes of the episode too. And then Dan, I know you're active on LinkedIn as well. So if people want to connect with Dan on LinkedIn, we'll also link to his profile there. Dan, final question for you. You've got an audience of impact-driven leaders, right, that are just like you, involved in multiple arenas, but to use the language you just alluded to, like, they want to do things in order, but they constantly experience struggle with keeping things in order. What is the final word of encouragement or challenge that you would give to them at the end of this episode?
If you're finding that there is something wrong, and it's always the same something wrong, you have to look internally. And that's always the best place to start is, you know, if I look back over my career, I wish I would have had better tools and knowledge at that time to take an inventory of what am I gifted at? What am I strong at? What do I love? and what are the things that I'm not so good at? So if something is always going wrong in your cycle, that means you're probably operating out of an aspect that is not your gifting. And that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. I mean, we're all different people. And so I know for me, the sooner I can bring an operator alongside me in anything I do, life will always be better. I am not a operator. I am definitely a visionary style. I definitely get distracted with new and wonderful ideas, most of which we should never do, right? And so I know when I make messes, it's usually me like stepping into some operational role where I'm not paying attention or not thinking about it and I stay there too long. I've got to get out of those roles. So each one of us, it's going to be a different answer though. So there's great tools today to determine like where are you strong, where are you weak, and then put a team around you as quickly as you possibly can that are strong in those areas that you're weak.
Man, so powerful and a really great trailer for many of the things that we're going to be talking about in our next conversation about how you've structured your businesses. So thanks so much, Dan. Appreciate you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. This has been a great conversation. I appreciate it.
Well, man, I'm so grateful to Dan for his intentionality and for his authenticity in the way that he communicates about what he has learned and what he is currently learning. We'll put all of the links in the show notes of this episode if you're interested in checking out Red Remedies or the grocery stores that Dan and his team run. Obviously, I'd recommend subscribing to the podcast so that you're one of the first to know whenever we drop episode 2 of this conversation with Dan that's really going to be focused on his principles that he's learned for leadership and business. Y'all know this. We're rooting for you. We're praying for you. We want to see you win. Remember, my strength is not for me. Your strength is not for you. Our strength is for service. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.